Do you find yourself, my friend, in a situation and it's so hard and it is so difficult and it is so dark that you feel like you'll never find your way out of that situation? Beloved, listen to me very, very carefully. Don't move without God's direction. Don't do something rash, because if you'll wait on God's timing in that situation, in that wilderness, God will deliver you in His way, in His time. Friend, to Camp Wilderness. Do you feel like that's what it is, that life is just nothing but a wilderness? Beloved, that is going to end. It's going to come to an end in God's time and in God's way. And what I want you to remember today as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 24 is that God has His timing. He's not going to leave you in this wilderness, in this difficult situation, any longer than is necessary, any longer than it is going to take for Him to accomplish His purpose, because God has a purpose in it. You know, so often I can get through something if I know that it is not meaningless, if I know that it has a purpose, if I know that God is at work, and if I've submitted myself to God, and so that I am a woman after God's own heart, so that whatever God wants is what I want, then I'm able to get through these difficult situations. And I will tell you, and many, many people will never, ever know, I share most everything that I can share, but there's some things I can't share. And so many, many people will never know some of the wildernesses that I've gone through. And how God has taken me through, because I'm telling you, there are times when I wanted to cut and run. There were times when I wanted to get out of there. There were times when I wanted to say, enough, I am not going to do this. I have dreams and I have hopes and I have desires and these are not being met. I'm out of here. That's the flesh and that's the temptation. But I'm so thankful that I know enough of the Word of God, that I understand the character of God and the sovereignty of God and the ways of God. I am so thankful that I know and understand His precepts for life. And because I know all this, because I have been seasoned and established in the Word of God, I have a fear of God. A fear of God, not that makes you tremble and go like this, I'm afraid you're going to hit me, but a fear of God rather that is a respectful trust of God, of remembering I am not God, of remembering that I am not my own, of remembering that I've been bought with a price, of remembering that I am to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, of remembering that it is the suffering that teaches me obedience. Jesus said, or it was said about Jesus, that He learned obedience. Now, this is the Son of God. He learned obedience through the things which He suffered. So right now, what's going on in your life? In this trial, in this wilderness where it's barren and it's hot and it's dry and there's no sign of life in that wilderness, I want you to know that God is moving on His timetable. God is never late. Let's look at it. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 24, David had gone into the cave with his men. All right. Saul, unknowing, came into that same cave to relieve himself. He didn't have all of his men with him. He went into the cave to relieve himself. As he was relieving himself, David came up and with his sword cut off a piece of Saul's robe. Then his conscience was smitten, and it was smitten because he did not honor Saul the way he ought to honor Saul as the king. Not Saul the man, because Saul the man was not being the man that he should be, but Saul the king, God's anointed, the king that was chosen by God, anointed by God, and put in that position. Yes, David knew he was going to be king. He knew that he was going to replace Saul. God had told him that. God had told him that before he ever killed Goliath. And God told him that someday that he would rule over Israel. And yet he is having to wait on God's timing. And he is having to go through this wilderness experience because God has a plan. And he is executing everything according to that plan. And he's doing the same thing for you, precious one. And when I say precious one, I mean it. And I want you to know that whether you feel like it or not, if you are a child of God, if you have been born of God, if you have been born from above, if you have received Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God has come inside of you and he's changed you, you can know that you are precious to God. And God is working out the purpose. Well, David is smitten. His conscience has afflicted him because of what he did. And he says to his men, you're not going to kill David. You're not going to kill Saul. You're not going to kill Saul. He is the Lord's anointed and we are not going to touch him. So what he does is he waits, Saul relieves himself, goes outside the cave, then David comes out with his sword and with this piece of Saul's robe. And he cries to Saul and he gets his attention. And then he says in verse 11 of 24, now my father, see, indeed, see the edge of your robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you, know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it. You're trying to kill me, but I want you to know. See this? See this? See this piece of robe? I had the opportunity to kill you. And you've been telling everybody that I'm trying to kill you. You've been telling everybody that I am pursuing you. You've been telling everybody that they've got to get me before I get you. And I want you to know it's a lie. And I have just proven that it is a lie. See? See your robe? Now watch what he says. He says, may the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. What is he saying? This is a very important statement. What he's saying is, God is going to deal with you. I'm not. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I am not going to preempt God. May God avenge me on you, but I will not kill you. I had the opportunity and I did not do it. Now watch what is said. As the Proverbs, and he's still speaking to Saul, as the Proverbs of the ancients say, out of the wicked comes forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be against you. What did he just say? Listen, the wickedness that you have towards me to kill me has come because you're wicked, because your heart is wicked. Out of the wicked come wickedness. And what he's saying is, I am not wicked. I am not wicked. And listen to me, beloved. If you are a child of God, you're not wicked. You may be angry. You may feel like vengeance is yours. You may have in your mind plotted and thought what could happen to this person or how God could get rid of them or how an accident could happen or how you could be relieved from your situation, from your stress, from your distress. But look, that is the flesh. You are not wicked. If you are a child of God, you have been declared righteous by God. You have been put in right standing with God. And you have a warfare, yes, going inside of you, as Galatians 5:16 says, that if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let me show you this in body language, or just imagine me in body language, rather. All right, so what he's saying is, here you are. And he says, you're walking in the flesh. And he says, yet the Spirit of God is inside of you. And so he says, though we walk in the flesh, and he's talking about our fleshly body, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And he says, you and I have fleshly desires. But if we allow the Spirit to take control, then we will not follow the deeds of the flesh. So to do wickedly, you think maybe sometimes wickedly, but if you belong to God, God's going to keep bringing you back to the plumb line of God's Word. God's going to bring you back to the precepts of life, and he's going to say, wait a minute, you can't walk that way. He says, if you will walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, if you will keep on walking by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, because the flesh is pulling you back. And the flesh is saying, come on back here, come on back here. And you're saying, no, no, I'm not going to walk by the flesh. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And all the flesh is over here saying, give me, give me, give me. The Holy Spirit inside of you is over here saying, holy, holy, holy. So you're going like this. I mean, you're drawn this way by the Spirit. You're drawn that way by the flesh. You have a choice. You don't put it into neutral and coast. You put it into drive. You put it into overdrive. And when you put it into overdrive, beloved, then you walk by the Spirit and you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, although the flesh is crying out for satisfaction. David's flesh was crying out for satisfaction, but he overcame the flesh, and he overcame the flesh, beloved, by walking according to God's word, according to God's way, by waiting on God. All right, now let's look at it. He says in verse 14, he says, whom are you pursuing? After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom are you pursuing? A dead dog? Are you looking for a dead dog? Are you looking for a single flea? Now, do you know how tiny a flea is? I mean, you feel it before you see it. You feel the bite in that. He says, are you looking for a single little flea? That's what I am. Is that what you're looking for? He says, the Lord, therefore, term of conclusion, judge, be judge and decide between you and me. Let God be God. He's a judge. You see, we know him as a loving father. We want to know him as a loving and gracious God, and that he is. But there's another side to that coin. And the other side to that coin is that God is judge. He is the judge of all the earth. He is the righteous judge, and the righteous judge will do what is right. And the righteous judge, listen to me carefully, will not let anyone, Christian or non-Christian, get away with sin. Sin has to be judged. Why? Because sin is destructive. Because sin will destroy you. And so this is what he says. And when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And then Saul lifted up his voice and he wept. Saul is weeping. He's heard the voice of David. He has seen his robe in his hand. He has probably turned around, looked at his robe, pulled it up, and he's seen, hey, that is my robe. There's a hole in my robe. The hem's no longer even. And then he says this, you have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hand, and yet you did not kill me. Put a tombstone over kill. Remember, we're marking every incident of death. Well, beloved, it's time for that break, and I'll be right back. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Welcome back. I left you right in the middle of Saul's words given in tears as he talks to David, because all of a sudden here's the mirror of a godly man. All of a sudden here's the mirror and the example of a man whose heart is really God's. And he has just seen it in David's reaction to Saul. When David could have killed Saul, he did not do it. So everything that Saul has said about David pursuing him all of a sudden is exposed as a great big lie. And you know who's standing there? I mean, they're not standing there alone. Saul has, remember, 3,000 men with him. David has 600 men with him. There are 3,600 witnesses to what just went on. And I want you to know, beloved, that when you study the book of Hebrews, it talks about that chapter of faith and how people endured and how they endured without receiving the promise and how they were willing to be put to death and not accept a better resurrection and how they were men who wandered around, men of whom the world was not worthy. And then he says, and seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let's us press on. Let's us press on. Now, what is God telling you? God's telling you this. He knows you're in the wilderness. He knows that it is hard. He knows the pain. He knows the hurt. He's there with you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you, but he has a time. He has a time and he has a purpose. So if you can just remember, God has a time. God has a purpose. God has a time. God has a purpose. And that's what's held me in the midst of my trials that I cannot share. God has a purpose. I think I will never see what I wanted to see, but you know, it's all right. Because I'm just looking at this life. God, I want God to stamp eternity upon my eyes. And that's what I have to stop and just come back to every time. God, forgive me. I'm looking at this life. I'm looking at the things that are seen rather than the things that are not seen. I'm looking at the things that are temporal rather than the things that are eternal. God, 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 I will persevere. I know that you have a time. I know that you have a purpose. And so all of that to come back to the middle of Saul's speech. And this is what he says in verse 19. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done for me this day. May God reward you with good. He says, now behold, I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. Now that is an awesome statement. And that is the first time that you have heard Saul make that statement. Listen to me, beloved. When you're in the midst of a trial, when you're wandering around in the wilderness, God is there and God is there to deliver you. But also God is there to show those that are causing this wilderness situation, those people that are not walking as they ought to be walking, those people that are not being what they should be and what God created them to be, which was in His image. They're marring the image of God. But God, when you live the way you're supposed to live, then God is showing those that are watching, that's the way you're not supposed to live. And so those people see you living and walking with God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in the midst of a difficult situation, in the midst of an arena, as Romans 8 says, that we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are put to death all day long. Yet in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. They're seeing you be more than a conqueror. And you're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. And this is the victory, as 1 John 5 says, that overcomes the world, even our faith. You're walking by faith. They're walking by sight. You've got eternity in your vision, and they have today and tomorrow, this life in their vision. And so he says, you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. So now listen to the king beg. So now swear to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants. And it's literally my seed after me. And that you will not destroy my name from my father's household. In other words, don't obliterate all my descendants. Don't slaughter them when you come to the throne. Don't put my sons to death. Don't put my grandsons to death. Don't put my nieces and my nephews to death. Promise me that you won't do that. Well, it's no need for Saul to say that to David, because he's already promised it to Jonathan. He's already promised Jonathan. He's already promised Jonathan. Remember, the last covenant that David and Jonathan made was that Jonathan would sit beside him on his throne. So he's already made that. But listen, and David swore to Saul. David said, that's right. I will not do that. I make a promise. And you know what? It is so neat to watch this played out in the life of David. It is so awesome. And Saul went to his home, but David and his men, plus their hearts, went up to the stronghold. They're still in the wilderness, still in the wilderness. Now, I want you to write something down in the margin. Next to verse 20, I want you to write down, David will be king. And next to that, I want you to put 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And I want you to go back to this, because it's important for you to remember this verse, and it's important for you to remember where it is. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 13, and it is verse 14. Listen to it. Samuel the prophet, who is now dead, we saw that he died, but Samuel the prophet is speaking, and this is before, of course, he's not raised from the dead, but he is speaking to Saul. And he's speaking to Saul when Saul does not obey God. And this is soon after Saul is made king. And this is what he says in verse 14. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. In other words, God has sought out a man after his own heart. Well, Saul has just acknowledged that that's David. Saul has just acknowledged that he is going to be the next king over Israel, and that his kingdom will be established. He's announced that. For two times now, Jonathan has come to him and assured him he's going to be king over Israel. Saul has said the very same thing. This is the grace of God giving these promises to David, because he's still in the stronghold. He's still in the wilderness. You say, will he never get out? I'm sure he wonders the same thing. So what is the purpose of the wilderness? Why do we go through the wilderness? What is God accomplishing in that wilderness? Well, that's what we're going to look at in the next program. And it's so very, very important. God has so many wonderful precepts of life for you as he delivers you in the wilderness. Do you know what's in my heart right now? It's a whole lot of love. It really is, and I can't explain it. All I can tell you is that one of my prayers constantly, as I go out and as I'm among people and as I do the ministry God's called me to do, which is to teach people how to study God's Word for themselves. And we do it in 121 countries and in 66 languages all over the world. But I can tell you that my prayer is, God, love people through me. Love people through me. I think that we are desperately in need of love. And I just want to tell you, and it may sound very, very strange because you're on the other side of this medium. And you know that I don't know your faces. You know, some of you, I know your faces. But you know, I don't know your faces and I don't know your names. But I can tell you honestly that there is a love inside of me that wants me to tell you that God loves you. God loves you. And He doesn't have you in this wilderness without a purpose. As I thought about wrapping all this up in your precept for life, God reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And He says this, we have this treasure. This is Christ, the Spirit of God inside of us, in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, not knowing what to do, but we're not despairing. We're not without hope. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We can get back up. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And when He says carrying about in our body or manifesting in our body the dying of Jesus, it's this. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who lived and died for me. So yes, you may be perplexed. Yes, you may be afflicted. Yes, you may be crushed. Yes, you may be cast down, but that's not the end. God has timing. God is going to bring you through it, and God is going to bring you out of it. Because you are precious in His sight. You are beloved to Him. That's your precept.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.